This is The Guardian.
Regid Ahmed here on Gadigal land with a full story.
You can catch a train from here to here in an hour. High-speed rail is not just a plot line in utopia anymore, it's a step closer to reality.
The federal government has announced the construction of a bullet train from Sydney to Newcastle, saying it could be ready to build in just 2 years' time. Costing more than $60 billion, it would see a commuter able to travel between Sydney and Newcastle in a single hour, cutting the journey by more than half.
My vision is for high-speed rail that runs from Brisbane to Melbourne, creating jobs and connecting communities up and down the east coast of Australia, overcoming the tyranny of distance that's held regions back.
But Albanese is far from being the first Prime Minister to flirt with the idea.
This train is to travel at up to 320 kilometres per hour.
1,750 kilometre high-speed rail project from Brisbane to Melbourne.
We've got to look at rail, whether it is between cities or indeed within cities.
So while the bullet train could transform Australia, is it ever going to happen? And why does the idea keep getting put back on the shelf? Today, senior reporter Tori Shepherd on the many broken promises in the journey to high-speed rail. Hi, Tori. It's good to talk to you.
Thanks for having me, Regid.
It's nice that we don't need high-speed rail to have this conversation.
Well, down here in Adelaide, no one ever talks about bringing us a high-speed rail. It's left out of the conversation.
But in Sydney, it's all that's being talked about. And it sounds like a lovely idea, but we do sigh a little bit when the conversation rears its head again because we don't want to get our hopes up. It's not exactly a new discussion.
It's not exactly a new discussion. It's one of those things you always think of governments have this cupboard full of ideas for election time. It's like, oh, what should we do to try and get headlines today? I know, high-speed rail, get your high-vis on, get down there with a shovel. It's all going to happen. And it has been derailed, see, pretty much every time it's come up.
So how long has this idea been around?
So I stuck it into Hansard, which is, you know, what you do when you want to see how when people first started talking about something. And 1971 is where it first came up. So then I went down this nerdy rabbit hole of the history of high-speed rail. And it turns out in 1964, Japan had its first one. And you can imagine the excitement people must have said. I still get excited seeing those fast trains in Japan now. But politicians especially, that sounds great. That sounds like a good idea. So, yeah, it was not long after that that the first notion of a high-speed rail came up in connection with, and Sydneysiders will love this, a conversation about a new airport for Sydney, 1971.
Oh, well, we are getting that.
It's happening.
But you had a quote from 1971 that could have been said today.
Can I read it for you?
Yes, please.
A second airport for Sydney has to be connected to Sydney by both an expressway and a railway, or perhaps some rapid transport system. A high-speed rail could be constructed. And that was the late Liberal MP for Mackellar, William Wentworth, known as Bill, in 1971.
So it's been around a long time. The Prime Minister's brought it back. He's pledging money for an initial planning phase. Just tell us what he's promising.
So there was already some money in the bucket for a development phase, and now there is more money in that bucket. So another $230 million for detailed design work. And you can imagine, like, they have to go fairly straight, right, to get up to high speed. You don't want any sharp turns because that seems like it could go terribly wrong. So that means you've got to work out how you get a track to go across all sorts of different land, and I imagine some water and so on. And so they're going to look kilometre by kilometre, and I imagine metre by metre, just to work out exactly how they're going to do this. And at the same time, they came up with the business case showing just how much it is going to do for Australia, how much investment, lots of jobs, lots of new homes opening up, lots of flexibility for people who live on the Central Coast and in Newcastle. And that's where we're at. And I've got to say, every other time it's come up, there is some kind of planning inquiry phase, and then that is kind of when it falls over, quite often with a change of government, because the next government, they've got their own rail plans. So that's where we're at. But, you know, people do seem a little more optimistic this time that it'll work out.
Is that because the Prime Minister's going further with this commitment than past commitments? Is there some sort of difference here?
I think it's getting down to that detail. So instead of saying, let's have an inquiry to work out whether or not it's feasible, you know, the cost-benefit analysis, they've sort of done that bit and they're getting on to the detailed planning. So that's a milestone, I suppose.
I mean, you mentioned, you know, other governments coming in and having other plans. Is Anthony Albanese a bit of a one-person cheer squad here? Is he driving it because he likes trains?
He has been talking about this for a very long time. He was obviously formerly the Transport and Infrastructure Minister, very enthusiastic about the high-speed rail ever since then. That may be what gets it off the ground, but I don't think he's the sole cheerleader. Like, if it happens, if the cost doesn't blow out, if the timescale doesn't blow out, think of all those people. So you'll be able to get from Newcastle to Sydney in an hour. At the moment, it's about 2.5 hours.
Wow. So that, I mean, it's a nice idea.
You can commute that.
I don't want to be too cynical, but the cynic in me is wondering, is this all just politics? That the government's aware that it probably won't happen, but they want to look like they're doing something.
I imagine politics has something to do with it. And look, I don't want to sound too cynical either, but they're saying it'll be shovel ready in about 2 years, which will be probably heading along to another election. And what did I say about the high vis and the hard hat? You know, beautiful election opportunities.
But part of the reason we struggle with these massive infrastructure projects is, you know, governments are elected in 3-year cycles. I mean, how long would it take to finally get this built?
Oh, look, it's going to be done in stages and it's going to be decades, I think, because they'll do the Newcastle to Sydney, that's the first chunk, and then they'll continue on out to that new international airport.
It's decades, though.
Oh, it's decades.
So I don't know if I'll be around to see it. I was also curious about the cost. This is something that people think about, like, does this mean it's going to be so expensive that no one can travel on it, on this mythical high-speed rail?
Well, it'll be cheaper than flying, I guess, is the calculation they're making. So someone somewhere, some wonk, I imagine, has gone, all right, if we do this, how many people will use it? And that's how we're going to work out whether it's going to be worthwhile. I think there's a bit of a if we build it, they will come mentality. But, yeah, it's a huge investment. So I think Sydney Morning Herald reported up to $90 billion once it's got that extra little bit out to the airport. But as someone who's reported on the submarines for more than a decade, like those billions, you know, they could start to really, really blow out, especially if the timeline blows out, especially because we've got a shortage of tradies. There are all these different factors that could blow that out. So, look, I think they're talking about some kind of private investment as well. Again, we know that it's fallen over in the past because people can't make the numbers add up. But there is this business case that they've put together saying it'll bring in something like $250 billion in economic output. And you can see people work differently now. You know, there'd be more people who are happy to, you know, move out of Sydney, get a cheaper house or whatever, and commute back in if they need to.
Because, I mean, we sort of, you know, turn our noses up because we've been hearing about this for so long. But there are some intriguing positives such as the climate crisis and dealing with the housing shortage.
Exactly. And also the population around there has increased. So last time they looked at it, they might not have been able to see that they could get to a critical mass of people who'd use it. But yeah, all of those things, housing, climate change, new flexibility of work and increased population.
When you look at international comparisons, there's always that question that, you know, Australia's massive, but we don't have the population of other countries that have this. Is that just the problem here? There's too few of us.
It's true. And that's why Adelaide's never going to have a high-speed rail, because there's a lot of space with very few people in between us and the East Coast.
I'm sorry.
And look, you know, again, lots of other developed countries have these high-speed rails. Lots of them are way more densely populated than we are. But I guess we're looking at that, you know, Central Coast, Newcastle, Sydney, you're sort of starting to get up there with maybe enough people to make it work.
We'll be right back. Tori, you've mentioned this, but really the big elephant in the room is the price tag. I mean, the cost, I struggled to get my head around it.
I also struggled to get my head around it, along with the submarines. But you've got to remember that's over that huge period of time. So it's not going to come out of the purse next week. So at the moment, we're only talking sort of hundreds of millions. But, you know, governments, it's like they do get to kick that can down the road a little bit, right? Like, Labor might get in for a second term, and even then they're not seeing those trains run necessarily. And then could be a Liberal government gets in and says, look at this massive, you know, burden that they've left us with. Has it gone too far for us to pull the pin on it now? And again, it's the cyclical nature of the electoral cycle that renders these things, big things, really hard to kick off and deliver on time and on budget.
As you say, we've been talking about it since the 70s, the 80s. What do critics tell you about why we don't have it yet? Is it that we just lack sort of vision in Australia?
Vision combined with exactly what you were saying before. I think, you know, 3 years later you get another government in. And that's working at a state level as well, of course. So state governments have also had various ideas for high-speed rail. But again, they might kick things off and then the economic circumstances change, or the next government doesn't think it's a good idea, or it was just somebody's election pledge and they didn't think they were ever going to be called on it. So we do struggle with these big projects, but also probably because the public balks at that huge amount of money. So even though we know that it could help with housing and employment, there'd also be people, I imagine, going, how are we chucking billions around when I'm struggling to put food on the table?
What do you think, Tori? Do you think we're closer than we've ever been this time around, or are we going to be having the same conversation in a couple of years?
Promise me it'll be you and me having the same conversation, and then we'll flash back to our previous selves. Look, it does feel like this is a step forward because of the idea of that detailed planning. Like, that's the actual practical, technical things that have to happen for this to pan out. All those things we spoke about, you know, things have changed that maybe make this a more feasible idea. And, you know, I'm sure Anthony Albanese wants this as his legacy, so he'll do what he can. But again, he's not going to be Prime Minister forever, or Infrastructure Minister, or Transport Minister.
Tori, on that note, thank you so much for talking trains today.
I wish I could zip up and see you.
One day, maybe.
One day, maybe.
They might build it. Shepherd. This episode was produced by Daniel Simo, sound design and mixing by Joe Koning. The executive producer of this episode of Full Story was Miles Herbert and Hannah Parks. Don't forget to subscribe or follow Full Story wherever you listen to podcasts, including on Spotify. I'm Regid Ahmed. See you soon.